Hello and welcome to Launch. We're broadcasting live from Atlanta, Georgia. I'm Ron Reardon. My co-host is Bill McHenry. Bill, how are you and where are you today?
Well, I'm fantastic, Ron. Today I'm in Florida, and I wish I could tell you it was nice and warm and toasty, but unfortunately it's real cold.
Okay. Yeah, it's cold everywhere, I believe. That's so much for global warming. Well, you know, Bill, on Launch, we focus on the launching of a business so that entrepreneurs can successfully navigate their launch. This morning, we're featuring Jesse Carter of Carter Resource Development. But before we get started, Bill, could you thank today's sponsor?
I sure will, Ron. Today, our sponsor is Entrepreneur Sales and Marketing. Entrepreneur Sales and Marketing is your one-stop source for all your marketing, sales, and business development needs. We customize and implement a business strategy to help build your business, grow your sales, and encourage your success.
And we really appreciate their support. Well, today we're talking with Jesse Carter, who's a pioneering leader in the direct sales fundraising industry, which is the third largest segment of our economy. Welcome to the show, Jesse.
Well, I'm glad to be here, Ron. I'm very glad to be here, coming from the South.
Okay. Well, I grew up in West Tennessee, which I don't know if that's South enough for you, but I'm a Yankee by birth and a Southern by the grace of God.
Great. I'm now I live in Louisiana, and I'm considered a Yankee too by those Cajuns that live in South Louisiana. They anybody north of I think Alexandria, Louisiana, they call Yankee. So that's I'm right there in the same boat.
Okay, I understand. Well, tell me, how many years of experience do you have in fundraising, and what's your specific area of expertise?
Well, Ron, it's kind of unique. I've got 25 years. Worth of experience, and I've helped thousands of groups raise millions of dollars. And in fact, I've kind of specialized in capital campaigns, which really works with multi-million dollar programs. And I say all that just because in those 25 years, you can pack a lot of fundraising in there. I also belong to two trade organizations. The AFRDS, which is the Association of Fundraising Distributors and Suppliers, and the Association of Fundraising Professionals. Now, this will be important as we talk further, but also I founded ProfitQuest.com, which was also a national fundraising resource site. So in saying all that, I'm not patting myself on the back. I just wanted to let our listeners know that I've got a lot of experience, and especially in the topic we'll be talking with today.
Well, that sounds pretty cool. You know, I get calls all the time from people trying to raise money for the fire department and the police department and sick kids and stuff like that. Is that part of what you do, or is that part of your industry?
Well, not really. That that's a small segment. I think what you're talking about is mostly using calling centers, and what I have, and that's a type of fundraiser. But there's two types of fundraisers that are typical. The audience has experienced, and if they've been involved in with their child's school or something like that, then it's probably a product sale fundraiser. You know, meaning cookie dough, candy, candles, that type of sales from a brochure where people pay money. And that supports organizations. That's a very typical product-type fundraiser. Then there's also the pledge gift-type fundraiser. That's the second main one, and I alluded to those two trade organizations. That covers both of those. The pledge gift may be more in line with what you're talking about, in that it deals with charities, outright donations, and even pledges given and paid out over a period of time, month by month, actually. And what I've tried to do is pull both of these together, creating a hybrid of these types and integrating them into a solid direct sale or, if you will, a network marketing program, and so that you get the best of both worlds. And that's kind of where, when you said, I guess, groundbreaking, that's kind of where we're at in that third little hybrid of these two types of fundraisers. And actually, it involves, firstly, a sale of products, of course, which is what most network marketing or direct sale companies involved in. And then, secondly, it involves a monthly program, kind of like a monthly auto ship or a or a kind of a coffee club or something of that nature, you know, so that you get the best of both worlds. And I can explain that further if we have more time, but actually that kind of gets the basic types of fundraisers that are out there.
Jesse, tell our audience, what are the trends of fundraising and also these network marketing companies? And might not be a bad idea to explain a network marketing company, too.
Right, right. There's a lot of trends. In fact, they're using the newer technologies. You know, you mentioned the nonprofit industry being the third sector, and a lot of times network marketing companies or entrepreneurs out there do not understand that this is the third largest contributor to our economy, behind commercial and education. And more direct sale companies want to show that they're concerned about charitable issues and causes. And, for instance, has anybody seen a pink ribbon on products? Of course they have. It
sure
involves the Breast Cancer Foundation, usually by Susan G. Komen. And it just is a way to connect with customers. And it shows that they care more about charity, or just as much about charity, as they do mere profits. A good example of this in the network marketing industry is Tupperware. Of course, they're a multi-million dollar company, and they've done fairly well with their fundraising programs. Although they are using an older model than what is currently available, it is still fairly successful. Typically, some network marketing companies are using this, but they're only paying groups 20% of the retail. And it's usually donated by that direct distributor or affiliate, if you will, and that is much, much less than a typical or a normal product sales, which gives 40%, 50%, or even as high as 90% of the profit of the particular item back to the group. So most groups are going to look for the biggest profit that they can achieve. And most, I'd say, probably 95% of the network marketing companies fall way far short of this. And so, you know, that's where we are now, is trying to get beyond that.
So what is a network marketing company then, Jesse?
What do they what now?
Well, I think our viewers might be a little confused is the definition of a network marketing company. You mentioned Tupperware. Is Tupperware, is it a for-profit company that then sells to places that are fundraising, or how does that work?
Well, good point. You know, involving their distributors or their affiliates, they want to reach out into their communities. Actually, they see this as a great way of promoting themselves and making money. But they allow the distributor to do most of the contacts with nonprofit groups in their locality. Usually it's local within their city or municipality. And so they want to be engaged, and they want to attract people into their product, and they offer these fundraising programs through their company. They are for profit, and, of course, the profit that is generated by the distributor, you know, his pay or his commission, then they kind of split that up and they give that back to the nonprofit group. That's the old way of doing things. But it still engages the community. It really highlights the product or the company. It kind of gives a warm, fuzzy feel about, you know, the program. And I know if you have any entrepreneurs out there that have a product or a company that has a product and they're wanting to take it to the next step, using this old model, and I've nothing against Tupperware, but it's just an old model. It involves a lot of work, a lot of effort, and groups and organizations just don't want to be put through that. They want something simple, easy. So when I talk to companies out there, I tell them, look, you need to do something. There's two ways you can go. One is you can put and tag on these nonprofit groups burdensome qualifiers, website fees, setup fees, cost of starter packages, you know, and even require them to be on some sort of a monthly auto ship to get started with their company. Or you can go the genuine way, and that's just have no strings attached, totally set up a nonprofit program with everything that's free for the organization, because you really care for that organization. You really want to do something to help them out. And that's the way that that I lean, and that's the way most nonprofits lean. They really don't want to be a part of a program that kind of holds their feet to the fire. I guess that's the simplest way to put it. And if any of this seems a little complicated, it doesn't have to be. It's just real simple. Just make it, you know, easy for the nonprofit group to be engaged with your company. And that's what we're, you know, what I talk to people about, and I try to steer them away from any complications. Like there was an airline group that with a company we were dealing with, and they wanted something for a national health charity to do within their region. And so we talked about this, and now they're kind of streamlined this and just made it an easy product fundraiser without getting trapped into the whole network marketing or direct sale programs. So that's kind of, I hope that answered your question.
It does, yeah.
In a roundabout way, I'm trying to show entrepreneurs that there are easier ways to engage consumers out there, or even, you know, charities involved with, you know, what product that they have.
Well, definitely.
Why do MLM companies and direct sales and network marketing companies offer fundraising?
Well, in a nutshell, they see it as a way to make a lot of money. Most of them.
I should say, and when I said MLM, I mean multi-level marketing companies for our audience.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of an old way of saying network marketing, or I guess the new phrase is direct sale company, especially if they're more involved in product sale than they are recruitment type thing. But they see this as a way, as I said, the third sector, it's one of the largest parts of our economy. If they can sell to that part or through these organizations, which there's thousands and thousands of organizations out there, schools, if you can imagine getting just a few schools involved with selling your product, if they really did it and did it right, then you'd be making a good bit of money. So that's why they do it, to be honest with you. A lot of them, it's not about the charitable issue. It's about how much money can I make? Oh, here's a great program and a great way to sell lots of product. And that's kind of what I talk about. They start adding all these qualifiers and these burdensome rules, and at the end, it just doesn't work because nonprofit groups don't want to be involved with, you know, that type of program. But really, when it comes down to it, they see it. It's a good market, really. When it comes down to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and simple is always better than complicated. So what are the differences and similarities of fundraising programs of network marketing and normal product companies?
Well, good question. This is where it all starts to come together with our talk. I know people are out there in companies or entrepreneurs wonder, you know, what has this got to do with me? Well, fundraising programs traditionally use, especially when they sell products, regular product companies. It could be candy, it could be cookie dough, it could be, and some of the biggest names, you know, like Hershey's and Nestle's and all of these types of things. They use this, and that's a big part of their sales. But the similarities are that they both sell products to groups for them to make money, and both have actual people that are working within the organization to, you know, set up the fundraiser and make it happen. The differences are, and here's where I think we're moving more towards helping the nonprofit groups. The difference is that a normal product company could take up to 6 weeks to get the products back to the customer that bought. There's a lot of turnaround time, whereas that's the difference between the traditional product company and a network marketing company can ship it out straight to the end customer immediately or within a week, you know, so it's pretty quick turnaround. That's why I kind of am leaning more and more towards network marketing companies. The other thing is a normal product company probably they don't have the convenience of online presence where a network marketing company does, and they typically do use online technology more and more. A normal product company offers retail pricing, usually through a one-time brochure sale, while a network marketing company can offer wholesale pricing and attach online monthly auto ships, kind of like that coffee club that I talked about on a monthly basis. This is also great for the nonprofit group because if they can, instead of a one-time sale, offer a one-time sale which has monthly benefits that come in, then they're having essentially a monthly fundraiser without the extra effort. And so it's kind of a multiplying effect. And so that's the differences in most of the similarities. And typically, I would say online fundraising, which I mentioned that network marketing companies typically offer, has some advantages. Number one, it's safer for participants because it's mostly online. Children's and teens, we really don't want them going door-to-door anymore. So it's a safety issue. And then personal time is leveraged, too, because people typically don't have much volunteer time anymore. They don't have time to go down the street and go door-to-door, but they can use a website effectively 24 hours a day. And then also organizations have free access to free online tools typically. Let me give you an example of this, of why I'm pushing online, typically network marketing versus the older school product fundraiser. There was a large national Boy Scout camping organization that launched an online program, and they saw a 500% increase in their popcorn sales over a previously the year before when they just did a traditional brochure sale. Now, there's another national camping organization, a girls organization, that used their traditional door-to-door fundraising, and their sales are down 20% over last year's. They haven't made that transition yet. So clearly, online sales and what network marketing companies or direct sale companies can offer are the advantage that groups have nowadays.
Jesse, you know, if one of the entrepreneurs in our audience had some products that they thought would be beneficial and could sell in the fundraising arena, what steps would they have to go through to, you know, get with you, and then how would you guide them to sell their products into fundraising?
Well, it's like we had mentioned before, this is all kind of a new developing market, I guess, if you will. And so there are a lot of misconceptions, you know, a lot of things that have to be looked at. And we talked about, I guess it really ain't simplicity is for that sake of simplicity. That company should look at what is best. What is the best interest for that nonprofit organization or those nonprofit groups they will support? Not about them. If they can kind of remove that, hey, what's in it for me type atmosphere or thinking, and how can I really legitimately help that nonprofit group, they're going to be light years ahead of anybody else that wants to do something similar. Number one, you know, they have to look at the old way of doing things and see what the new ways are, you know, will help them. And much like any person or any individual, a nonprofit group has its own distinct personality. So does the company that you just mentioned. They have their own distinct personality. So it's kind of like a marriage. You have to kind of fit these two things together. And when it all comes down to it, the company has to look at this. What do I want to do to just maximize the effect and help that organization? So once they get into that mode of thinking, it all starts to become easier. And for instance, let me give you the way that a typical product fundraiser should look at things. Number one, there should be no minimum orders. You know, if someone wants to come onto the group's nonprofit website, which of course the company provides for free to that group, if they come onto the website and they order, they can just order one item. And then you can have a preferred customer program where they can, of course, get on a convenient monthly auto ship, which they can cancel at any time. There should be no barriers about them canceling. and then they should make it as extremely as profitable as possible to that group. You know, I don't mean 5% back or 10%. I mean stretch, you know, really stretch it. Give them as much as you can, even up to 40%, which is what a lot of groups look for. They look for 40 or 50%. on their fundraising program. And if you can stretch to that point, then number one, you're going to be helping that group. But number two, they're going to be getting your product out into the marketplace a lot more quickly because it's in their best interest. The other thing, it has to be delivered, could be or should be, direct to the end consumer with the option of bulk shipment to the nonprofit group if they just wanted to go back and deliver these products to their customers themselves. So both of those ways of delivery or shipment should be available. There's just lots of different things that I bet the typical product company doesn't understand. But again, coming back to that simplicity, you know, is best, making it simple and easy for the nonprofit to be engaged with the company is the right way to do it. I hope that answered some of the questions.
Yeah, it does.
You know, we have, it's hard to, you know, just get it all.
Kind of switch gears a little bit. You know, we were talking about the product companies and the marketing companies. Let's talk a little bit about the nonprofit groups. And I'm wondering, do they really understand multi-level marketing, network marketing as part of a fundraiser and how effective it can be?
Another good question. That's kind of the flip side of the coin. Getting those nonprofit groups to become involved with the company. And in the past, if they've been involved and they hear the word MLM, they run for the hills, you know, or even network marketing company. I guess that's why people are changing it to the direct sale name instead. But a lot of times these older organizations, especially larger ones or schools, they could easily see this as a, quote, pyramid scheme. And all it takes is one member of their organization to say, wait a minute, is this a network marketing company? Oh, no, we're not going to get involved with that pyramid scheme because they've probably had a bad experience in the old days. And that's why I tell these newer companies that are wanting to sell their product to the nonprofit, you know, newer fundraising network marketing companies, don't present this as an MLM or a typical MLM. Just sell the products. That's all the groups want to do. And so if you take that way of approaching and the groups are just looking for product sales, they'll just be happy to be engaged with a company that is just offering, you know, cookie dough or just offering coffee or that type of thing. But then they have to be trained. And so the company actually has to have some training for their affiliates or their representatives or distributors, whatever they call them, to really just focus on fundraising. And the key is take that whole recruitment stuff out of it, and because a nonprofit group just does not want to be involved in some kind of a recruitment or home-based business type thing. They just really don't want anything to do with that. So they have to kind of get beyond that, and if it's presented to them in the right way, then they can begin to understand how powerful this program could be for them, meaning delivery direct to their consumers or their supporters' home. They don't have to deliver the product to them. That saves a lot of time, energy, gasoline. These online programs now through these companies handle everything, the ordering, the payment processing, taxes, any of that kind of stuff, which an organization doesn't have to worry with. So in the end, if they start to understand how much easier this will make for them, then they will start to kind of come on board. But it's up to the company to present this in a very friendly manner so that they can do what they do best, and that's reach out to their supporters, their friends of their school or whoever, and just engage them in a product sale. So in the end, that's what it's really all about. And I tell a lot of nonprofit groups, look, there's two keys to the success when you're using one of these perpetual fundraisers. And number one, like any other fundraiser, you have to recruit a campaign chairperson within the organization, and you've got to take it seriously and not just here's another online program, let's just see if it works. They can't do it that way. They've got to really make it a priority. And then number two, and here's something that's often missed by nonprofit groups, even with like a network marketing company, they have to lead by example, meaning your leaders of that organization have to be the first to buy the product. And if they do that, then they're going to be successful. And if they're successful, then the company is going to be successful. And then as they're more successful, then they're going to be spreading their brand and their products and their items out into the community, out throughout the country, for people to know more and more about what they're doing.
Well, you know, Jesse, you mentioned both, you know, AutoShip and shipping, you know, directly to the consumer. If I could get the Thin Mint cookies shipped to me every month instead of just once a year and storing them in the freezer, I'd sign up today. that's my favorite cookie.
And that's where everything is leading. And a lot of your listeners here today, they may not be engaged with fundraising, but I guarantee you most of the people they know are churches, charities, worship centers, of course, schools, organizations of all type. There's hundreds and hundreds of thousands of these. They just have to know that there's something good for them, like the Thin Mint cookies or whatever it is. And if you can do it that way, a lot of them will be happy to get on that AutoShip program if it's available. And if there, here's the other catch, if there's no nothing that traps them into some MLM scheme or program, the consumer is very wary about that, and so are the leaders of these organizations. They don't want to be, you know, offering something that's going to leave a sour taste in just one of their supporters' mouths, you know. So you're right, the AutoShip program, but that's why I like this with the network marketing companies. They can offer it so much easier and so much better than, you know, other type of industries, I guess.
Yeah, well, I know when the kids come door-to-door and everything, whether it's a Christmas wrap or, you know, cookies or whatever, having to chase us down and find us at home, you know, in order to deliver the product, it's got to be a real pain for them because we're so rarely home. We're always, you know, out working and everything. So I would think them not having to actually deliver the product would be a tremendous, tremendous incentive.
Right, and that's very true. And the time frame, just like you mentioned, people are not home much anymore, but they do have connection to their computer or iPhones or Blackberries, whatever. And they can access the web at just about any time people do nowadays. And so very few people are not connected enough to the web where they or have used the web to order something to where they don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
So more and more we're going down that path. Now, there's some exciting trends, and I'll if I could share that with you, I certainly would love to. And I know our time is kind of getting limited, but there's some trends I'd love to share with everybody on the call today.
Sure,
go ahead.
I'm involved with a company right now called Javolution Coffee Company, and I say that because this coffee company is taking up the trends. They're kind of going beyond the boundaries, if you will. And I got involved with this company, consulting with them, because, of course, number one, most everybody loves coffee. It's the second most traded commodity in the world, and it people will drink it. So it's an excellent product-type fundraiser. But what we're doing is we're putting in place a comprehensive social media platform called microsites. Now, this is the exciting trend that we're moving towards. These microsites concept is new to the nonprofit industry, and it's also going to revolutionize fundraising with companies that want to utilize this power. I'll give you a quick example of this. Using this microsite concept, there was a volunteer with Lance Armstrong's charity. His moniker, I guess, is Fat Boy. That's what he called himself. So he was a cyclist, but he raised $150,000 in 1 week using a system very much like this. So there's power behind this microsite concept, kind of like a Facebook or social media platform. And so the nonprofit group will post their little goal thermometer on that website, on that microsite, have their picture of their team or their school or their group, and have a blurb about how people can actually get engaged and help their organization out further. Now, another, I mentioned the scouting organization, the Boy Scouts used a very similar program to this, and of course I've mentioned their sales went up 500% over the previous year. So we're this coffee company, Javolution Coffee Company, which is in Florida, by the way. He said it's cold down there, but the coffee right now is probably doing fairly well. But this type of program is new. It's refreshing, and it does not involve any of the old MLM or network marketing type, jargon or traps, I guess, if you will. No pyramid scheme. You can't see that from the. It's just selling the product, and it really goes out of the way to reach across the country for a group to sell to their grandma, their uncle, their aunt, people that are not in their local community. So that's why I'm saying the power of this newer technology is the wave of the future, really, and that's where it's heading.
Okay. So how could this fundraising company effort potentially help our listeners?
Well, if they take a little bit of what I've explained a little bit today, number one, they have to have the best interests of that nonprofit group in mind when they start to think about what they want to do. If they want to create a fundraising program for their own company, then you know, they might want to look at a few of these things that we've talked about, like number one, no strings attached for their fundraiser, no fees of any kind, no purchasing requirements, you know, no minimum orders. The groups get a free fundraising website. Product is shipped straight to the customer. And then also they get free fundraising tools. And then finally, to help their company or their products being sold, use that new microsite social media platform. Now, to get involved, I have some resources that they can use, and those people that are getting involved right now with, I've created a 90-page fundraising manual for the JavaFit coffee program that I just mentioned, and if anybody is interested, they simply call or email me, and we can get them kind of involved in that program, but that book is very comprehensive. They can use that with any direct sale company that they want to, and it kind of helps them target how to set up their fundraising program for their company. Or if they're an entrepreneur looking for, you know, some sort of a program they can get involved with, whether it's for their company or themselves, you know, the same thing. We have that manual available. It kind of helps them go through several types of fundraising campaigns, and we've even got some training that people can take with this JavaFit coffee program that I'm involved with that will help them I don't want to say fundraising professional, but, you know, kind of along those lines. They can kind of get the overall picture, the big picture of this, of how it can help them. I don't know if that's entirely, you know, what your question was answering. Sometimes I get off key a little bit, but anyway, it's there's so much information, it's hard to kind of squeeze in the time frame that we have.
Could our listeners get a hold of that document that you were talking about, Jesse, to read? Or is there a place they need to go visit, a website or something?
Sure. Let me give some resources to listeners. The websites I mentioned, there's two websites. One is my blog. And I should be posting, actually, I'll be posting this, a kind of a white paper on this conversation we're having today up on that blog. And that blog site is www.freewebfundraiser.com, freewebfundraiser.com. And then also about this company I'm involved with is www.thecoffeemarket.com. That's the coffeemarket.com. My website, but my email address too, which may be posted on the, is I'll just try to spell that out, and they're welcome to email me, and I can send them this white paper. It tells them a lot more about what's going on here. It kind of gives a breakdown a little bit better about what we're, you know, have talked about today. But that email address is jessecarter112@comcast.net, and that's jessecarter112@comcast.net. And my phone number and all of that will be on there. So they're welcome to review everything that we've talked about. Call me. I give free consultations, so it's not going to cost anybody anything to consult with me, you know, right off the bat. If that leads to something else greater, great. I'm here to help those entrepreneurs in your listening audience and their companies really be engaged in the nonprofit world, because that's where I like. It's fulfilling. I love helping groups raise money. If it's done in a good way and done in a proper way, then everybody wins. It's a win-win-win. So, you know, feel free to contact me at any time.
All right. Well, thanks for being on our show today, Jesse. Our listeners really appreciate you sharing your experiences and insights into this area that I think very few people, you know, really have a very deep understanding.
Right. That's the whole key. And I know this interview might be a little strange, you know, because it's talking about fundraising, and in a very quick way, probably didn't get everything that I needed to get across to our listeners. But it really is exciting way to present products to the consumers out there that's not typical, you know, like advertising or commercials or print media. So this is a way to kind of a very cost-effective way of presenting products to consumers in a way that everybody wins. And that's my point that I want to get across to people. So,
Jesse, if you had to give one piece of advice to our listeners on dealing with a fundraiser from a product manufacturer standpoint, what would you give them?
I guess one phrase would be, it's all about the charity. And in a nutshell, that's what it really comes down to. If you have the best interest of the charity or the nonprofit organizations in mind, your efforts will be a success. And that's what the key is. And a lot of companies and entrepreneurs, they don't understand that. But it's about how people want to be treated when it all comes down to it. They don't want to be locked into, you know, things that, you know, even that anybody would want to be locked into or anything along those lines. So treating the charity in a very fair and proper manner is really what it's all about, to engage them in what you have.
All right. Well, thanks again, Jesse. Another great show, Bill.
It really was, Ron. I really enjoyed that. I also want to give a special thanks to today's sponsor, Entrepreneur Sales and Marketing. We go the extra step so you don't have to fret. Visit our website at entrepreneursales.com.
And you can go to our blog, thelaunchhour.businessradiox.com, to listen again to today's show plus previous shows. This is Ron Reardon, Bill McHenry, signing off another great session of The Launch Hour.